Am I on now?
No, you're on.
Okay.
It's all right. It's on the board.
It's. I know. I'm going, but y'all sang the right one, so I'm going.
The right title is just the wrong page.
Oh, okay. Well, the title was right in the bulletin, but we all figured it out, right? So, all right, let's begin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Dearly beloved, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We will chant the introit for this morning, and when we get to the Gloria Patri, we will sing that. Okay. Vindicate me, O God, and defend my cause against an ungodly people. I love the Lord because He has heard.
My voice and my wish for mercy.
Because He inclined His ear to me.
Therefore I will follow as long as I live.
The snares of death encompass me, the pangs of Sheol laid hold on me. Then I called on the name of the Lord.
O Lord, I pray you hear my soul.
For you have delivered my soul from death.
My eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be, shall be, world without end. Amen. Vindicate me, O God, and defend my cause against an ungodly people. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. Almighty God, by your great goodness, mercifully look upon your people, that we may be governed and preserved evermore in body and soul, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Old Testament reading for this morning is taken from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 31, beginning with verse 31. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, declares the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And no longer shall each one teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We join in the gradual for this morning. Oh, come, let us fix our eyes on Jesus. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame.
And is seated.
The epistle reading for this morning is taken from the book of Hebrews, chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. Every high priest chosen from among men is appointed to act on behalf of men in relation to God, to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. He can deal gently with the ignorant and wayward, since he himself is beset with weakness. Because of this, he is obligated to offer sacrifice for his own sins, just as he does for those of the people. And no one takes this honor for himself, but only when called by God, just as Aaron was. So also Christ did not exalt himself to be a high priest, but was appointed by him who said to him, You are my son, today I have begotten you. As he says also in another place, You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverence. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him, being designated by God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 10th chapter.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
The Holy Gospel. Oh, I already said that. And they were on the road going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus was walking ahead of them, and they were amazed. And those who followed were afraid. And taking the 12 again, he began to tell them what was to happen to him, saying, See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him over to the Gentiles. And they will mock him and spit on him and flog him and kill him. And after 3 days he will rise. And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came up to him and said to him, Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you. And he said to them, What do you want me to do for you? And they said to him, Grant us to sit one at your right hand and one at your left in your glory. Jesus said to them, You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or to be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized? And they said to him, We are able. And Jesus said to them, The cup that I drink you will drink. And with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or at my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared. And when the 10 heard it, they began to be indignant at James and John. And Jesus called them to him and said to them, "You know that those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. But it shall not be among you, but whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
Let us join together in confessing our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, being not made, but of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So in the gospel lesson for this morning, Jesus makes his third prediction about his death. We hear the story of James and John coming to the Lord and making a request of him. It's interesting the dialogue that goes on. It's also interesting how Mark places those who were following Jesus, not just the 12. The 12 are amazed, but the rest of the crowd that follows do so out of fear. They're afraid, Mark writes. And it's during this sojourn that James and John make their request to Jesus. They ask him that he would do whatever they ask of him. Sounds kind of a bold thing to say, but then when you think about it, you know, Jesus did say to them at one point, whatever you ask in my name, I will give you. So they make their request. But Jesus' response to them, well, their request, of course, is one to sit on his right hand and one on his left in his glory. And Jesus points out to them, it really doesn't seem that Jesus is really upset with the question, though the disciples become upset when they hear the request. But Jesus just answers them kind of straightforward. You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I will drink? And are you able to be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized? And they're bold. They're bold in their statement to him. They say to him, we are able. And Jesus says, well, you will indeed. The cup that I drink, you will drink. And with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or at my left is not mine to grant. But it is for those for whom it has been prepared. Jesus is giving us kind of a look ahead, really, of some other events that will take place. And it really speaks, what Jesus speaks of, though, speaks to his glory. Jesus said, you don't know what you're asking, because they want to sit on his right and on his left. Now, they don't understand, of course, what that glory is, but if we look at the Old Testament, we see oftentimes when it speaks of God's glory, it talks about of who God is, how the people see who God is, in other words. What is he like? What is God like? And of course, you know, Moses finds that out with his encounters with God. Others don't necessarily have a good encounter. Instead, they have a fearful one, like the disciples who are following Jesus but are afraid. Well, they're afraid, I guess, if you would want to say it, is because they're headed to Jerusalem, and no one really knows what's going to happen. What's going to happen when they get there? What will it be like? Now, next Sunday is Passion Sunday, Palm Sunday. And we know what that turned, how that all began that day. And it was a thrilling time. It was perhaps the greatest parade ever. There weren't any bands, there just people shouting and praising God and singing Hosanna to the Son of David. But that really doesn't give us a glimpse of Jesus and his glory, what that tells us about Jesus. But when we look further at Mark and we go to the crucifixion, and we get a glimpse of that glory, because on the cross, Jesus is glorified. Jesus is glorified. He is placed on a cross with a sign that hangs over his head that says, King of the Jews. And who sits on his left and his right? Two thieves. And it's on this cross that one sees what Jesus is really like in his glory. Because on that, he is fulfilling his own words that he speaks in Mark verse 45. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. It's on that cross, that place where Jesus dies, that his is the victory. He defeats death. He defeats sin. He defeats Satan. He is more than victorious. He is glorified. His state of humiliation ends when he says on the cross, "It is finished." But we also see God's glory in this. We see Jesus, the Son of God, but we also see the Father in all of this. We see and hear the words of the centurion that says, "Truly, this is the Son of God." The curtain in the temple where that divides the Holy of Holies from the rest of the temple is rent in two. God's glory is seen. This is the one. This is the one that takes away the sin of the world by his blood. It is poured out. When we observe this through Mark's words, we can understand perhaps a little more what Jesus is telling James and John. You don't know what you're saying. They're thinking a different kind of glory. The glory that men are used to, where you have a powerful leader. But in their time, just as in our time, leaders are various and they come and some come and lord their authority over others, dictating to them what they can and cannot do. But Jesus says that's not to be the way it is to be with you. He said, "I didn't come here to exert that kind of glory. I came to serve, not to be served. And I came to die. I came to die." Jesus told James and John, "Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or to be baptized with the baptism in which I am baptized?" What interesting words our Lord chooses. And yet they are words that are filled with angst, fear even. The cup he speaks of is a cup of wrath. The baptism he speaks of is kind of like a baptism of fire, something he has to go through that no one else can. That is, he has to die. He has to die. And Jesus tells him, "Well, indeed, you will drink of the cup that I drink, and you will be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with." And we know that in a very real way, through their own self-giving of themselves, that is, they took up their cross and they followed Jesus. They went the extra mile after Jesus ascended and after they received the Holy Spirit. They went into the world. They testified. James is the first one to go out along with his brother. They go out. James goes out and becomes a witness, and he is the first of the 12 to be martyred for that witness. James saw the risen Lord, and he wasn't going to be quiet about it. Now, you could hardly think James and John could be quiet about anything, because Jesus nicknamed them the sons of thunder. Bold men, brash at times, speaking without understanding, but yet willing to stand up for Jesus. James is put to the sword by Herod for testifying about Jesus. Of course, John lives to be a ripe old age, but not without a lot of suffering along the way. They indeed drank the cup that Jesus drank, and they were baptized with the baptism that Jesus was. They were literally ones who walked through the fire for Jesus. they were willing to die and receive on them the wrath of men, because they knew that Jesus took the wrath of God on himself, and they had a friend in Jesus. They had a father who was Jesus' father. But in another way, really, don't they drink that cup in the upper room when Jesus set that whole thing into play, the Last Supper, when he says, and he takes that cup and he says, "This cup is my blood." They take and they drink from the wrath that was poured out on Jesus, rather his blood that was poured out as a ransom to keep us from experiencing the wrath of God. He did that for us. And we too, do we not also drink the cup which our Lord drank? Isn't that what we hear in the Scriptures? Jesus said it himself, "This is my blood shed for you." And the church has been celebrating this feast of redemption, this feast of salvation, this feast of forgiveness through the blood of Christ. We drink Christ, the one who was our ransom and is our Lord. The baptism which Jesus was baptized with, we too are baptized when we come to the church and receive the water and the word from a pastor who pours that upon us. And it still goes on today as others are baptized. The baptism that Jesus was baptized is applied to them. They receive Christ in them. They receive Him, and their own sins are crucified with Christ on that cross. Crucified for them. See, we still go through this part of what Jesus speaks of in His words to James and John. We drink the cup. We are baptized with the baptism of redemption. You will drink of that again today. And you will drink of it again next week, because it's a special Sunday. It's the Sunday of the Passion, and we will celebrate communion again. Because that's what it's all about. That's why Jesus said, "Do this often in remembrance of me." Whenever you do it in remembrance of me. It declares his death not only to us, and we are reminded what our sins cost him, but we are reminded that this was of God's doing. It's not something we do, but it is what God does for us. So that in this life, until we are called to heaven, we have that which we need that gives us strength. The medicine of immortality in the Lord's Supper. The promise of forgiveness that is yours because your name has been written in the book of life. On that day when the pastor poured the water on you, you were sealed in this covenant, this new covenant that Jeremiah speaks of in our Old Testament lesson today. We have received that covenant, not of our doing, but it is the doing of God. And it is amazing, this gift that God gives us. Are you willing to drink the cup? Are you willing to be baptized with the baptism in the sense that the disciples would one day be faced with? Would you stand? Will you stand for Jesus if you should ever find yourself persecuted or told that it's a matter of your life? If you continue to confess Christ, you will die. Will you stand like the disciples? Not one of them recanted their faith. They gladly died for him because they knew that life isn't about this world. Life is about what God has prepared for us. And it's not the kingdoms of this world. These kingdoms rise and fall, but the kingdom of God endures into eternity. And this is yours, and you have received it. And these gifts that we continue to use in our churches today are that which allows Christians to make that bold confession. When we come here, we receive the forgiveness from God, spoken in the words of absolution from the pastor. When we come into this church, we receive forgiveness of sins when we celebrate the Lord's Supper. This is a wonderful place of forgiveness, where hatred is just flooded over with the waters of our Lord's redemption. In this place, for whatever hurt we may have inflicted on someone else or been inflicted upon our own person, Christ comes to us gently, lifting us up and reminding us, you are forgiven. And so are those who have tried to harm you. Be reconciled. And we hear the words of Jesus in his words of reconciliation. And we desire those things, and we receive them in the blink of an eye. We receive them from God himself. These are his gifts to us. Today, will you come up and receive that gift and drink that cup? I know that you will. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. We have much to be thankful for. And as we have been going through Lent this year and reflecting on why God did what he did, and consider our own sinfulness and need of forgiveness, we are cleansed. We are cleansed. Those who examine themselves and see what sinful human beings we really are, turn to God, who alone pours upon us his redemption. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us rise as the offerings are being brought forward in the singing of the offertory. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Heavenly Father, in these Lenten days, we ask you to pour out your Holy Spirit upon us, to write your word on our hearts, that we might know you as the God who forgives our iniquities and remembers our sins no more. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, bless and sustain Matthew, our Synod President, our District President, our Circuit Visitor, and our pastors who, like us, are beset with weakness. Grant that they may deal gently with us and keep them faithful in proclaiming your word. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, your Son came not to be served, but to serve. Help us not lord our authority over one another, but humbly serve one another in our homes, communities, and congregation. as Christ has so humbly served us. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, look in mercy on all those to whom you have given earthly authority. Guard them from the temptation to lord it over us improperly, that they might faithfully serve according to your good and gracious will. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, you watch over, protect, and defend us through the service of others. Bless, we pray, the men and women who serve in our military, police forces, and all emergency services, who, like your Son, are often called on to lay down their lives for us. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, as your only begotten Son learned obedience through what he suffered, we pray that you would bless, sustain, and relieve Pastor Scott, Judy Stallings, Larry Fultz, Robert Galabias, Alfred Durson, Don and Donna Tolner, Nelson Meyer, Gloria Habman, Pat Bias, Carl and Jackie Rush, Robert and Donna Knopf, Wilfred Defoe, and all who suffer in our midst, that walking the way of the cross with your Son, they may know the fullness of his eternal salvation. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, through the life and death and resurrection of your Son, you have delivered our souls from death, our eyes from tears, and our feet from stumbling. Comfort all who mourn with this truth, that they may not grieve as others do who have no such hope. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, you have baptized us with Christ's baptism to be our God, that we might be your people. Grant us faithfully to drink from his cup in the blessed sacrament, that he might sustain our life in him with his flesh and blood. Lord, in your mercy. All these things and whatever else you know that we need, grant us, Father, for the sake of him who died and rose again and now lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who overcame the assaults of the devil and gave his life as a ransom for many, that with cleansed hearts we might be prepared joyfully to celebrate the Paschal feast in sincerity and truth. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you for the forgiveness of all your sins. Do this in remembrance of me." After the supper, he took the cup, and when he had gave thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. The body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul unto life everlasting. Depart in peace and joy. Amen. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Please be seated. Any announcements? You got anything?
Well, it's Steve and Sue Grissom's anniversary, March the 22nd. And also, Sheila called me this morning. Jan's not doing too good today. I don't know specifics. She just asked me to build the candles for her. So I might want to get them up in prayer.
Okay. Jenny?
Our anniversary is on the 25th.
Oh, yeah. Well, happy anniversary.
Happy anniversary.
Thank you.
38.
Wow.
All right. That's how old you are, right?
Right.
Okay.
Boy. Yeah. Ah, Bob's a cradle robber. Yes.
Yeah, and we're going to, we don't have an Easter deadline now with the care packages. And since I had them ready to go last week and didn't make it, and they're still sitting on my counter and not in my bag, the flyers are still at home. But I do have the poster out. So if you want to look at that, it's real easy. I will bring them next week, and we're going to extend our personal care packages for the Lutheran World Relief to the end of April. Because the deadline is now November when they're going to pick up again, right? Yes, page is off. So we're not rushed. And we can also do school kids this summer. So, I mean, we've got plenty of time to get Lutheran World Relief stuff. So we're going to extend it, and I promise I'll bring it next week.
Okay.
Peggy and I are going to an executive committee meeting for the Zone, Midcoast Zone, this afternoon.
There will be a rally for the Zone on April 10th. It's in Edna, and we just need to get our heads together and figure out how many people will be going. That's a Saturday, I believe.
Yeah, it is.
Right.
Hey, you know, you mentioned last week that we usually have a dinner on
Palms. Oh, yeah. Right. I was thinking about that and the fact that we usually have Palms. Are we having Palms this
year? Yes, I've ordered the Palms.
Okay. We don't have any kiddos, so everybody will have to carry a palm to your pew, I would guess.
Are they heavy?
If you want to have any kind of a
covered
dish or a catered meal, I guess we can talk about that in the other room.
It's coming.
Right.
Yep.
So we just have to decide if we want to do it quickly or if we want to not.
I vote we have a meal. We just need to think about how we want to furnish it if everybody wants to be. If we want to bring our own or if we want to try to get in, because I bet he can do it in a week.
I mean, you can hold a cover dish would be nice.
Yeah, a cover dish would be nice.
I don't think so.
I don't think we should do covered dishes yet. I don't think we should do covered dishes yet. There'll be people that won't stick around if you do that.
Well, what does everybody want to do? I'm good for either way.
I am too. I'm just thinking of, you know.
Cross contamination, right?
Yeah.
Ben's is easy.
Huh?
Have it catered. Ben's easy. Yeah.
Well, what do we want for the main? What do we want? Like,
Sounds good.
Like we did last time.
Mm-hmm.
And then should we bring dessert?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, people don't have to eat them, I guess.
We do it every Sunday. Why not?
Yeah.
We do what every Sunday?
Bring something.
Oh, yeah.
We'll bring desserts. We'll have Ben do the meal, and we'll bring dessert. And we'll make sure that we use gloves to serve them. How's that?
It's going to come pre-packaged, isn't it?
Just
do you want him to make it?
I don't know.
The pre-packaged most probably.
Yes.
Well, those will be. Do we want Ben to supply a dessert?
No, but what I'm saying is that instead of you saying serving with gloves, I'm talking about the dessert.
Oh, okay. I'll have Ben package.
We'll bring desserts.
She needs one to take home with her, DeRay.
She's got one.
Oh, okay.
Okay, that's 19. And then if you know of anybody who's not here that might be here, we'll try to.
He always does it here.
Yeah, he does. Okay, good deal. Thank you.
All right, let's close with the last hymn. Please rise.